Today's message is laying it down. That could mean all kinds of things. We're going to look in John chapter 10. We're going to primarily stay in the book of John. In chapter 10, where we're going to start is verse 1 through 6, and it's a familiar text. A lot of this that we're reading is familiar. I just want to take a different look at it this time around. And it says in John chapter 10, verse 1 through 6, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration with his disciples, but when he was done, they stood there scratching their heads. And they didn't quite understand that. So Jesus went on to add a little bit more in verse 7 through 10. And he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly." We've heard that phrase many times over the years, most of us. And we think, it sounds familiar. There's something I picked up on when I was doing the study in verse 9. And it says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." But this next line is what I keyed in on. "And we'll go in and out and find pasture." Not pastor, but pasture. Grazing area, eating area. What's the significance of that? Jesus, when we come through him and to him, is our pasture. He gives us spiritual food that we may eat. As sheep have a responsibility to go and find their food, the shepherd's there just guiding them along. But sheep still have the responsibility to eat, just like all of us. Someone can take us to a restaurant, but they can't make us eat. My mother's been sick the last 2 weeks. One of the first times, actually the only time I ever know in my life that she's ever been really sick other than a cold. And it was kind of concerning. My sister called and took her to the emergency room and said she was having trouble breathing. She had chest pains. Well, that's never happened. My mother's healthy. She's 79. So as they get up there, you think, ooh. She said she hadn't eaten. And I thought, okay, we go to the house, we take her food, and she just stares at it. Can't make mom eat if she doesn't want to. She just had no appetite. Now, the good news is she's getting better, had some crazy virus. They couldn't quite pinpoint it, but a crazy virus. My point being, you can put food in front of people all day long, but we have the responsibility to pick it up and eat ourselves and nourish our bodies. As sheep, we have the responsibility to go into the pasture and eat the food that's laid out in front of us. It's important to note also, Jesus told us who the enemy was. He says, here's who the enemy is, here's what they will look like, and here's how you will notice them. They'll be the one coming over the wall and not through the door. You ever notice if you're in a lot that has a fence, or maybe your own house that has a fence, if someone's climbing over that fence, they're probably the enemy. They're not coming through the gateway. What will they look like? Well, they'll be sneaking around, trying not to get in and trying to get past you. Who are they? Anyone that's not using the doorway. They're not coming through the proper channels to get in the pasture. And they're doing things in a different manner. So we read that, Jesus explained it again to his disciples. Verse 11 through 18, let's take a look at that. Jesus tells them, "I am the good shepherd." He clearly tells them, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." Remember that line. When we talk about laying it down, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves. He leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Maybe you know a situation in your life where someone that didn't have a great commitment to something, they fled. And they left you or your family scattered because they didn't have a commitment. The hireling flees because he does not care about the sheep. Again, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, he says, I lay down my life. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. A third time he says, I lay down my life. The difference is he says, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. There's 4 points I want us to pull out of that scripture right there. First of all, Jesus told them who the shepherd was. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for my sheep. Any shepherd should be willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Number two, a hireling who is not the shepherd leaves them. He leaves the sheep behind. He has no concern. You hear about church splits. That may be where a hireling came in. Caused a disruption. And as the enemy was in the middle, they split. And the sheep didn't know what to do and they scattered. Point number three, in verse 16 it says, there are others to bring into the fold. One flock and one shepherd. There's others to be brought in here. There's other sheep that need to be brought in to the fold. Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 4 speaks of this. Jesus Christ being our peace, breaking down the walls of separation, creating one church from two. Calling us to walk in unity in one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, in you all. Amen. He calls us into unity. Point number four, verse 17 and 18. My Father loves me because I lay down my life and I take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it again. The good shepherd lays down his life again and again and has the power to take it back up. At this point in the scripture, several questions come to mind. Are you, are we, am I a shepherd? Or are we one of the sheep? Now he is the good shepherd, and only he has the power to lay his life down and take it back up again. But there are many shepherds in here that are leaders that care for sheep in certain areas. Several questions come out of this. But both the shepherd and the sheep have responsibilities. The shepherd to protect the sheep, to watch out for them, to lay down his life. The sheep to find their way into the pasture where they go in and out and find it and eat. As sheep, we have a responsibility as people guide us in here into the pasture to eat, to take up spiritual food. We all have that responsibility, even as shepherds. We all need to watch out for the thief. Or the robber that's climbing over the wall, coming in to steal to kill and to destroy us. Now, before we're quick to answer that, let's flip over a few pages to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 at the very end, verse 36 through 38. John 13, 36 through 38. We've gone through several things in John. Jesus washing the disciples' feet, identifying His betrayer. And then Jesus predicts Peter's denial. In verse 36, Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, where are You going?" And Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow Me now, but you shall follow Me afterward." Many sheep want to know, "Where are you going? What are you doing?" But now's not the time. Maybe later. So in verse 37, Peter said to Him, "Lord, why can I not follow You now?" Now get this next line. "I will lay down My life for Your sake." And Jesus answered him, said, "Will you lay down your life for My sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied Me three times." Just as Peter said, "I will lay down My life for you," Jesus questioned him. We may be sitting there thinking, "I would lay down My life for Him." But have we denied Him by doing things that displease Him, that we know displeases Him? Or did we just move that life out of the way? Jesus knew Peter would deny Him, but Jesus did not abandon him. Just as Jesus knows where each one of us are in our life and our commitment to Him, He's not going to deny us and abandon us. Maybe we abandon Him to family or friends or co-workers, students, even strangers. Last week at Ground Zero, we talked about discipleship. "Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations." Sounds great. What's a disciple look like? Said, how do you make one? Do you pop it in an easy bake oven and pull out a disciple? No. So we broke off into groups, said, "You guys talk about it. How do you make a disciple? And when you make one, what does one look like?" They had some great answers. I said, "Where do you find someone to make a disciple?" I said, "Where do you find people?" "You find them everywhere." "Okay, so where do you find people to make disciples?" "Everywhere?" "Yes." And they had some great answers. "In church, you find people to make disciples." "Absolutely." "In your family, in your school, on your bus, you find them everywhere." Don't think that just because people are here in church, they're disciples and they're followers of Jesus Christ. I thought that was a great answer from our young people. In church? What does one look like? Well, it looks like you guys. It looks like you guys. And it looks like you guys. Hey, it looks like you guys. And it looks like you guys. It's all over the board. Just like, what does the sheep look like? In this world, it's a lot different than out in the pen, but sheep look like all of us. Before we say, "I will lay down My life for Your sake, Jesus," just think about that first. Think about at what point we take our life for Jesus, put it on the back burner while we say something, do something, look at something that we shouldn't. Now we're probably thinking, that's where I lay it down and pick it back up. No, that's where you set it aside and brought it back. Big difference. Peter did eventually go on to lay down his life for Jesus. asking when they went to crucify him to be crucified upside down because he didn't consider himself worthy of being crucified in a like manner of his Lord. Let's go to the tail end of John chapter 21. And let's take a little peek in there real quick. Everybody loves a good restoration story, whether it's a house, a car, or a person. And in John chapter 21, Jesus restores Peter in verse 15 through 18. After Jesus was crucified and he was buried and he was resurrected, he reappeared to his disciples. And after having breakfast with his disciples by the sea in verse 15, Jesus came to Simon Peter and said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." You see, lambs need to be fed. And he said again to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Tend to my sheep." As sheep need to be guided. And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. And you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." As we transition possibly from sheep to shepherd, as we transition from one who's not willing to lay down his or her life, to one who is willing to lay down his or her life. I want you to think about that phrase. Because that phrase says, someone may be willing to take us where we do not want to go. And for some of us, that could be death. Has a missionary ever been killed for his cause? For his Jesus? Absolutely. All the time. In this day and age, countries around the world, people are dying trying to spread the word of Jesus Christ. Because as they stretch out their hand, someone is taking them where they do not want to go. Let's go back to John chapter 15 as we close. John chapter 15, verse 11 through 14. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy remains in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Verse 13. Everybody listen up. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." There's another example of Peter saying, "Lord, I'm willing, I'm ready to lay down my life for you." But just like many of us who may say the same thing, Peter was not yet ready to begin living his life for Jesus Christ. So on one hand, we're saying, "I'm ready to lay down my life for you." And Jesus is going, "You haven't even started living for me. You have not yet begun to live for me." And yet you say you're going to lay down your life. Laying it down. What are you willing to lay down for your cause? What are you willing to lay down for the one who laid down his life that you may have life and have it more abundantly? Every day, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as disciples, as shepherds, as sheep, we should be looking at our life and saying, did I do better today than I did yesterday? It's 11:30 in the morning. You can say, yes. You haven't begun to live the day, though. Wait till you try and pull out, and there's cars coming all over, and someone jams on the horn as you pull out in front of them from church. Watch when you get down to the first or second stop sign. Watch when you get to your favorite restaurant, and somebody steps in the door right ahead of you and holds the door for you as they take that reservation in front of you, causing an extra 15-minute wait. As sheep, have you taken your responsibility of being fed? First of all, coming to the pasture. Again, pasture, not pastor. Coming to the pasture, coming to the place that has food. Sometimes as Jesus talked to his disciples, they were confused. We just have to think. And we think, I'm stretching out my hand. I read a story about a lifeguard. Someone was in trouble, got too far out in the water. And they went out there and they were flailing around. And the lifeguard is trying desperately to reach them. And the lifeguard is trying to grab this person and save their life. But they were flailing around so violently, so afraid of dying, that he couldn't grab them. And he sat back and he treaded water so that person exhausted themselves. And then, when they were at their bottom, when they were at the end of their rope, when they were at the end of their efforts, then the lifeguard stepped in and said, I got you now. And was able to go in and save them. Well, I'm not at the end of my rope. I'm in a church full of believers, man. I got all kinds of help. What are the chances of a lifeguard drowning in a pool of lifeguards? 1985, New Orleans. The Parks and Recreation Department celebrating their first year in recent history of no drownings. Over 100 lifeguards were in attendance at this pool. And at the end of the party, they pulled a 21-year-old man out of the deep end that drowned. Don't think for a second you can be in this pool and not drown with all these lifeguards around. Ask Ashley. Don't think for a second nobody around me is going to drown. I'm here for them. Because it broke my heart to hear her message of struggling. Here in church, at Ground Zero, with family and friends around her, oblivious. 100 lifeguards were oblivious to some guy that jumped in the deep end and couldn't swim, fully clothed. But I'm here to tell you, when you're at the end of your rope, when you're ready to give up, all you have to do is submit. Say, I'm done flailing around. I am done panicking. I'm done screaming, help me. And even the disciple, when he walked out in the water, said, Lord, help me. Sometimes we just have to stop flailing and reach up and reach out. And as shepherds and sheep, we got to watch out. They may not reach out far. They may reach out like this. And we've got to learn to read that sign that says, They need some help. Today it's simple. I'm just asking you to lay it down here at the altar. Not to leave here today. We used to fill this altar with prayer requests. People wanting their lives to be changed. And that's all I'm asking today. If you're carrying baggage today, if you're ready to lay it down, just bring it up here to the altar. We'll pray over you. We will do what we can for you. But I do not want anybody in this pool drowning and slipping away and nobody noticing until it's too late. I don't want a thief to come in here and steal somebody away because we didn't recognize that they came over the wall. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you today for identifying yourself as the good shepherd, the one that will lay down his life for us, the one that has laid down his life for us. Lord, as we look today at Peter, who claimed he was ready, may we just examine our life. When we claim, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to live for you. I'm ready to lay it down. Let's take a closer look to see if we've even begun to live for you. As we reflect today, Lord, we want to give it up for you. Not to leave today the same way we came. Right now, we're going to open the altar up, and I'm begging you guys, if you're carrying weight, lay it down. Lay it down. We'll have people here to pray for you. Lay it down today, and don't carry it around another day. As we're in an attitude of prayer, the altars are open again. If you've got anything you want to lay down, let's lay it down today.
10 years ago, I got a call from the VA hospital from my doctor to come in and see him. They had an important message to give me. Well, that message was, I had 5 years to live. 5 years to live. That was it. That was over 10 years ago.
Amen.
And today I feel great. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't all the stuff that I eat or the pills I take or the vitamins. Yeah, that helps. But it's God. And I love God with all my heart and all my soul. Because without him, I wouldn't be alive today. And my pastor, like Adam and Jack, Cliff. And all the prayer warriors. Prayer works. You ask God, prayer works. I'm here telling you today, prayer works. Yesterday I got a telephone call from the same doctors telling me we'll see you in 3 years, Randy.
Amen.
That's because there's a God. And anybody that can look at me and tell me that all the doctors tell me that I have 5 years to live, and I'm still standing here because of your prayers and because there is a God, that there's not a Jesus. I would challenge you right now to come up here to these altars, as Adam has said, and lay it down. I laid it down. I came up the day they told me that I had 5 years to live and knocked on the door, and Jack was there and he invited me in. And like I said, today I have a black belt first degree, former Marine. I feel great. And it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
And our Father God.
Thank you.
It's all good. I drank what I needed.
But please, please don't leave here today and take anything with you that you don't have to. Because God will, I tell you, God will take it right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Randy. If you've got something to lay down, will you do that? Will you just walk up here and let us pray over you? Anybody today? Big, small. Just unbelievable. Everyone is just congrats. Thank you so much. Thank you. Can we get some prayer warriors up here? Jan, Thelma, Eric, anybody else? Philip, thank you. Let's get some prayer warriors up here. Anybody else today? Anybody else today need prayer for anything, any reason? Young people? Young adults. Peter, thank you so much, Peter. Anybody today? I miss so much the opportunity to pray for people and to pray over people at the end of our services. Let's just bow our heads in prayer and let's just pray over these at the altar right now, folks. And again, if you have a need, come on forward and we'll do that. Father, we thank you so much for the testimony that Randy gave. The power of prayer, Lord, changed lives. Miraculous healings. The doctors tell us one thing, but you know another. Peter said one thing, but you knew the truth. The doctor said one thing to Randy, but you knew the truth. And our faith will carry us through. Our prayers will carry us through. Father, we ask blessings on these at the altar. We ask you to pour out your blessings on Jack and Jan as they travel. Give them safety. Give them protection in their travels. Lord, to those that may be in their seats still, that have a need, we just ask you to bless them. You know their needs. May they have boldness to bring it before somebody someday for prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name.